she's doing pretty well. She's doing pretty well, but she's, they're still getting about half a liter of fluid off her lungs every day. And she's tough as nails. She just keeps it going, keeps it kicking. You would never know it, you know. But she's still dealing with that, but just pray for her. All right, let's pray. Preacher Matthew, if you would pray with us.
Lord, I thank you for the individuals that let us all be back together. Thank you for just the opportunity to have another foundation study and bless the visitors. God, I pray that you would draw us near to you by your word. I pray, God, that you would study and that by your Holy Spirit, God, that you take those things to the bottom of our hearts, so we can grab them, God, to what teaches us that it must be. God, I pray that you would cause us to grow in your grace and truth. I pray that you would prepare us to be able to answer. If any of them had a question, God, that would be able to answer as a result of this study that's been done. I pray that you help our pastors and leads it. God, give you words that would, you know, help him to have wisdom and discernment as he conducts it, to direct it exactly the way that it needs to go. And God, I pray that you would help us to arm you with all things we do. So please help out each one of these that was mentioned. God, many afflicted, many sick, many having surgeries, many had surgeries. God, we know what needs to be done in every life. God, I pray that you would help us to bring these sins to you faithfully, but then also, God, to trust you with it and to leave it with you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. All right, Bible rules. Karen, you got the scoreboard?
I got it.
When are we going to tally this up?
Whenever you tell me to.
How long are we keeping score on this?
We started July 30th, 23.
July 30th, 23.
Bible school.
Yeah, Bible school, because that's right.
Right after Bible school.
Yeah. I said, I'll tell you what. We'll do a separate one for Bible school. Yeah. That'll be different.
Do
what? Yeah, that's what we'll do.
I guess we could do June.
Yeah, we can do the end of June. That'd be good. We'll do it at the end of June. Now what's the age groups again?
1 to 10 is your first one.
1 to 10. All right. Are y'all ready? All the way up to the 10-year-olds. No. Would you mind getting me another bottle of water, please? You never got me the first one. I brought this one. Thank you. Let's do Matthew chapter number 8 and verse number 4. Good job. All right. Good job. All right, let's do Ecclesiastes chapter number 7 and verse number 1. Ecclesiastes 7 and 1. Chapter 10 and verse 31. 10:31.
Whether you're in need or great, or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God.
That's right, do all to the glory of God. All right, that's three. Now what age group's next?
11 to 17.
11 to 17. Are y'all ready? 11 to 17-year-olds. We're going to do the book of Jonah in chapter number 2 and verse number 5. Jonah 2:5. Very good. All right, let's do Isaiah chapter 64 and verse 6. Isaiah 64 and 6.
But we are all unclean thing, and all our righteousness are filthy rags, and we all do fade as we, and we and our iniquities like the wind are not fade.
Very good. All right. One more for them. Very good. Queen jumped on that one. Let's do the book of Acts in chapter number 14 and verse number 10. Acts 14:10.
Same with the Lord, stand up right and let me make you eat and walk.
Wow, very good. All right, now we're going to do
18 through 40.
We're going to skip 22. Right? 21. We're going to skip 22. we're going to do 18 to 21 or 18 to 25. I'm just kidding. All right. Let's do. Let's do Deuteronomy 29, verse 4.
Yet the Lord hath not given you a heart to perceive, and eyes to see, and ears to hear unto this day.
Very good. Let's do Romans chapter number 11 and verse number 4.
What saith the answer of God unto them? I have reserved unto myself 7,000 men that have not held a meal to the image of thee.
There's a camera up under the, there's a camera in the pulpit, I think.
That's what it is.
Stop it there.
All right, let's do Deuteronomy chapter 32 and verse 25.
The sword without and terror within shall destroy both the young man and the virgin, the suckling also with the man of gray hairs.
Wow. Good job. Bring the boys back in there, Matthew.
I'll play way behind.
we're getting messages over here. What age group's next?
41 to 60.
41 to 60. All right. Let's do... Good thing I didn't do Bible or do Bible drills. I can't even turn pages fast. All right, this is by request. Ezekiel 3:2.
So God opens my mouth and he tells me to eat that
wall. That's Parker's favorite Bible verse up there. all right. Let's do Titus chapter number 2 and verse number 14. Titus 2:14.
Who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works.
Yes, very good. Peculiar people. Let's do 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9.
But
ye
are peculiar a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light.
Very good.
I'm seeing a pattern in that age group, peculiar. I don't know what that's about.
I know that verse. I just wanted to repeat. I just wanted to do that. So that's what I...
That's the shortest verse in the Bible.
What?
That's the shortest verse in the Bible.
Jesus wept.
All
right, was that three?
Yeah. Yes.
All right, now what?
61
to 120.
You had to raise that to Sherry had a birthday.
Oh, Lord.
I had to go into another category this time. What are you talking about? I went from 60 to 61. Just enough.
Does it want that?
Let's do Esther chapter 5 and verse 8. Esther chapter 5 and verse 8. We learn. I know I will learn from this.
It's already out.
This one?
Mm-hmm. What? There you go.
I didn't turn it on.
I turned it on earlier when we came in.
Oh, how did you know I was going to pick the yellow one?
I was just... ESPN.
Great,
guys.
Think a lot, huh?
He's got the camera.
Entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for that we all have sinned. For until the law of sin was in the world, but sin was not imputed when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned, of the similitude of Adam's transgression. For the figure of him that was to come, but not as an offense, so also is a free gift, for it drew the offense of one, many be dead, but more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many.
Amen. Amen.
Because man sinned, man must pay for their sin. Because man is sinful, he is not perfect and able to pay for sin. Jesus is man and God. Jesus is perfect.
That's right.
Isaiah 55:8 says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my thoughts."
saying that he cannot forgive his God, and what his and his way is always going to be the right way. Deuteronomy 34 says,
very similarly to what the several mentioned, you know, we talked about a lot this week, going all the way back to the beginning. I know, you know, you can preach an hour on like every little part of this and not even like study hard, you know what I mean? There's so much, like you can't say it all. But I always thought one of the most beautiful demonstrations in God's Word about the particular, particularness of Jesus as the sacrifice is in the book of Ruth, and Boaz being that kinsman redeemer, because as some have mentioned, it was man that owed the debt of sin, and while for a while God accepted animal sacrifice as a means of pushing that back, you know, again, the animals weren't the ones that transgressed against God,
right.
They didn't owe that debt, and so really nobody could pay that debt except one who owed it, but then we didn't have to pay, we didn't have what it took
right.
to pay. And in the same way, we see in the life of Ruth and Naomi, the only one that could redeem the rightful property of Elimelech, Mahlon, and Chilion was somebody who was of that kindred. They were the only ones who had standing. And in fact, there was another man who was a closer kindred than Boaz was. But when presented with the opportunity to make that redemption, he said, I cannot redeem it.
Mm.
I love the way God worked that out, because he didn't say, I will not.
Yeah.
He said, I cannot.
Right.
So Boaz was the only one, because not only did he have standing being that kindred, but he was the one that had the power to redeem.
Yeah.
And Jesus being the same way, as everybody has said, he was the only one that was perfect. didn't have his own sin debt that he owed, so that was the only sacrifice acceptable to God.
Amen. Amen. Is the price low or good for him?
Yeah.
And just to back it up a little farther, go a little basic. God is holy. Holy means separated. He was separated for a purpose, stuff like that. So by nature, God being separated cannot have fellowship with a sinful people. That simple. And because he is just, as has been mentioned, he will forgive sins without punishment. The wages of sin is death. And we get that all the way back in Genesis too. So what had to happen is we had to have that mediator in between to make it to where we could fellowship with him. And that's where, again, Jesus being God became human, and therefore could make the sacrifice for sin for mankind that gave us that fellowship with him, with God.
Amen. Yeah.
In 1 Corinthians 15:14-17, Jesus' death on the cross was purposely, voluntarily, and essential for our salvation. Death on the cross, it has finished every shred of sin he inherited in his human nature. He had no sin, and he was nailed to the cross for our sin. Every sin that we ever committed was nailed to that cross. And Jesus was the Son of God, and Adam, without Jesus going to the cross, we would have been doomed to eternal death.
Yes.
But his blood and his sacrifice made it way.
Amen.
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 It is not in God's nature to simply overlook sin. We as humans are naturally sinful and fall short, and the punishment for that is death. Romans 3:23 and 6:23. God is loving, gracious, and forgiving, but he is also a God that is holy and can't stand in the presence of sin. Isaiah 6:3. Hebrews 9:22 says that without shedding of blood is no remission of sin. The law cannot save us because it can't change the human heart, but God, being gracious and merciful, sent his Son to take the punishment we deserve. Christ bore the wrath of God on the cross for our sin, defeating sin and death, satisfying God's justice for paying the price of our sin. And Isaiah 53:5-6 says, but he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities, the chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all.
Amen.
And so, because of Christ's sacrifice and resurrection from the grave, we are free from the power of sin and death.
Amen.
Amen.
You want to be hidden?
Yeah.
Well, all my verses are taken but one, so.
Go ahead.
But that's the good thing. 1 Peter 2:24, who his own self bore our sins in his own body on that tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes we are healed.
Amen.
So without Jesus shedding his blood, we could not be saved, and we could not have eternal life, and that's just by the grace of God that he does that. He did that for us.
Right.
We didn't deserve it.
Amen.
So I thank him for doing that for me.
Amen. Amen. Very good.
Your original question about why he had to die was because he was holy and we wasn't, so there'd be eternal separation.
Right.
Yeah, so going there where there would not be eternal separation. I think Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3-7, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us into the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sin, according to the riches of his grace.
Amen.
That's the only way we can get in, that we can have a presence with God, is by his blood and
Amen.
Amen.
That's right.
So when I was researching for this, I thought back to the message that was preached here in the youth revival about blood, because that's the answer to this question. There had to be blood.
Yeah.
And in order for our sins to be eternally forgiven, there had to be a blood sacrifice. A picture of this was back in Genesis, when Cain's sacrifice was not acceptable because it wasn't blood, and the Lord wasn't pleased with it. Only the blood sacrifice would be acceptable. And I have Hebrews 10:10. By which we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once and for all. And I also have 1 Peter 1:19-21. But with the precious blood of Christ, as a woman without blemish and without spot, who barely was ordained before the foundation of the world, though he's manifest in these last times for you, who by him was that raised him up from the dead, and gave him glory, that your faith would be filled. So when sacrifices were performed for the atonement of sins, they had to pick the best lamb without any blemishes. And that was what Jesus was for us. He was the perfect sacrifice because he never sinned. So only his blood could be the one using the sacrifice to atone for all of our sins so we could remain in heaven.
Amen.
Jesus died on the cross or on the tree because in the very beginning man stole from the tree. God puts back on the tree for you and me to undo everything that was done in the beginning. And Jesus was the only sacrifice that was perfect enough to cover all sins. The power of salvation and forgiveness of sins could only come from the shedding of his perfect, innocent blood. And when he rose from the dead, he conquered death and the grave, which is how we are able to conquer death and the grave. So Jesus had to die on the cross for us, because without his sacrifice, we'd all be doomed to an eternity in hell with no other choice. And I put John 3:16-17. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved.
Amen.
Cut off the servant's ear. Jesus verse 11, then said Jesus unto Peter, put up thy sword into thy shield, the cup which my Father hath given me. Then he asked a question, he said, shall I not drink it?
Hey.
Yes. He came to do one thing, die upon that cross for our sins, amen, for the whole world. And I thank God that I'm part of that one of the world.
Amen. Yes.
Give us some ice.
Right. Amen.
Jesus died on the cross before the foundation of the world, that God loved him before the foundation of the world, and he is the Word, as it said, that he is that Word. The Bible says in Isaiah 53, verse 10, yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. Stephanie's reading from Isaiah 53. She didn't quite get this far. But it says, yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. That word please means to satisfy. It satisfied him. That word bruise means to crush, to wring the life out of something. It's not a movie that you know anybody should watch, but most of y'all probably seen it because y'all rednecks. You ever seen that movie, Old Brother Worth Out? Y'all ever seen that? You remember when John Goodman gets the toad and he squeezes it? You know what I'm talking about? It's in the movie. That's what he does. He squeezes the toad and just drops it. It's dead. That's what it's talking about when it says crush, to bruise. It said it pleased God to bruise him. It says he had put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. It pleased God for him to die. It satisfied God for him to die for my sins and for your sins. Why? Because God's wrath against sin was satisfied, because he was that perfect lamb. He was that perfect sacrifice. But then there again, why did it all come down to this way and happening this way that it was Jesus? And why did God design it that way? Because we see that not only was it just, it was not a solution to a problem. It was by design from the very beginning. Yeah. It was the intention of God to do this from the time that he said go. From the time he created the earth, that was his intention. And why is that? It was that he would glorify himself.
Yeah.
And that also that we would give glory to him.
Yeah.
Let me put it to you this way. Suppose that God just forgave all sin and just let us live how we want to. Well, first of all, the Bible says this, that all, we preached on this morning, all the law is summed up in this, to love your neighbor even as you love yourself, right? Mm-hmm. Do you ever consider the fact that, just like Jesus said that the Sabbath, that man was not made for the Sabbath, but the Sabbath was made for man? And he also, by that same implication, the law was given to us, not that we would benefit God as he need benefit from us. Right?
Right.
He can raise up stones to praise him. Is that what the word says?
Yeah.
As if he needs a preacher, he can do it in any form he would. It's a privilege and honor to serve God.
Yeah.
As if he needs us. He doesn't need you and I. But it's a privilege and honor to be in his service. Have you ever considered the fact this, that following the Lord is beneficial to you and I?
Yeah.
Guess what? Think about his laws. Do not steal. If you lived in a world where nobody stole, it'd be a better world.
Yeah.
Do not kill. If you lived in a world where nobody killed, it'd be a better world. He knows that today, he warns us against fornication. He warns us against drunkenness. He warns us. He even gives a specific set of laws to his people, the Jews, for them to follow, pertaining to, you know, just to show that they're separate people, that they're peculiar, that they're different. Some of those things was like, you know, wearing certain types of clothing that was made from sewn from one piece of cloth. Guess what? He didn't want them having to deal with envy. He didn't want them having to deal with this, what we call today, trying to keep up with the Joneses. Yeah. Everybody looked the same. Didn't matter. It didn't matter if you was Job and you had, 100 cattle, or if you had 10,000 cattle or whatever else. None of that mattered. It didn't matter if you was a king like David, or if you was just, you know, some little poor peasant. Either way, you was commanded to wear the same thing. The same way with their diet. You told them to stay away from things like pork. You know, pork's one of the worst meats you can eat.
Yeah.
I'm not saying you should stay away from pork. I'm going to eat bacon. I'm just going to be honest with you. I do limit the pork I take in because of my arthritis.
Yeah.
Again, he said stay away from shrimp. It's full of mercury. One time I ate 130 shrimp. I got sick as a dog. I did. I was doing a thing that's 10-cent shrimp, and it's in peeling meat shrimp. You buy 10 at a time, it's $1 a piece for each 10. I ate 130 and it was awful. I never got any shrimp again. So if you ever go to Red Lobster and they're doing the shrimp thing, don't overdo it. They full of mercury. But in all the law, it's beneficial for you and I. The same way with the Sabbath. He says, I give you a day of rest. He says, it's not that. He said, I didn't make you for the Sabbath. He said, I gave you the Sabbath for your benefit.
Yeah.
And so it's beneficial to us to follow God the same way. It's beneficial for us that we be redeemed by Christ. Why? Because when we're redeemed by Christ, we glorify God.
Yeah.
If he had just simply wiped away and done away with all sin, then you'd still have people worshiping false gods.
Yeah.
You'd still have people living how they wanted to and doing what they wanted to, and nobody would ever be affected or care either way.
Yeah.
And that sin had to go somewhere. But the Bible says here in 1 Peter, in chapter number 1, in verse number 13, says, "Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought to you by the revelation, at the revelation of Jesus Christ." Listen to this. "As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust in your ignorance." He doesn't want, he says, "As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves, not conditioning yourselves as the according to the former lust." Verse 15 says, "But as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, Be ye holy, for I am holy. And if ye call on the Father, who without respect of persons, judgeth according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear." Listen to this in verse 18, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18. "For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers." You know when you're saved that you were not saved just because God said, "Okay, I'm going to clean the slate." Guess what? There's no saving. There ain't nothing in this life for free. There ain't nothing in this life for free. And that's true.
Yeah.
And nothing just simply comes free. And if you do get anything for free, you don't appreciate it.
Right.
I remember whenever I was a child, I was on a dirt bike. And my dad found a Honda XR7. And we bought it from Bradley Pope. It's his son's dirt bike. And I think it was $1,000 for it. And I had, $100 or maybe a little over $100. And he bought it, he set that thing in the basement. This was the rule. You can sit on it, you can polish on it, you can touch it, you can do all that, but you can't crank it, you can't ride it until it's paid for. And I worked all summer. $2 an hour, this is the truth. I worked $2 an hour, I worked 50 hours a week when I was 8 years old. And on weekends, if somebody had a car they'd wash, they'd give me $10, I'd do it. Because I wanted to ride that motorcycle. And it was on up into the next school year before I got it paid for. But when I got it paid for, I loved that motorcycle and I cherished it. And I worked so hard, probably harder for that thing than anything I have since then.
Yeah.
But in any case, and that's the way Dad always done. If you want a vehicle or whatever else, you know, Dad, he'd be good enough to help you. But you was going to pay for it. You was going to learn the value of it. When I was about 16 years old, my grandpa, my mama's daddy, he's just a good-hearted man. He's a sweet man. He had bought a Jeep. Now I was 14. This was in 2004. And this was a 1996 Jeep Grand Cherokee. Today, that'd be like if you had a 2016 Jeep Grand Cherokee. It had about 90 couple thousand miles on it, okay? And he gave it to me. He bought it for a good deal. He gave it to me. He said, "I got your Jeep. It's a four-wheel drive Jeep." And I was like, "Oh, wow, thanks." And within a week, I had it towed because I was trying to jump a creek jump where I jumped on my dirt bike behind my house. And, you know, Jeeps just don't fly like dirt bikes do. And so, you know, it hit the bank and it towed it. You know, I remember my dad, he was a little upset, but he told me I had to call my grandpa and tell him. And that's what I had to do. But, you know, I learned something from that, and that's this. You give somebody something, they don't appreciate it. Right? There has to be cost, right? But whenever I understand and know, now my salvation was free. But this is what hurt me about that deal with my grandpa and my teachers. I know that it cost him something.
Yeah.
And because I had took advantage of that, and I had just squandered it, the worst part of that was worse. I'd rather my daddy beat me than have to call him and tell him, "I raped this Jeep you just gave me a week ago," that you was tickled to be able to give. In the same sense, whenever Christ died for me, and he, being innocent and not deserving it, had to take the punishment I deserved, and it pleased God to bruise him, to crush him for my sin and for the penalties I had committed, that gives me thankfulness in my heart for what he's done. It makes me want to live for him. It makes me want to serve him. It reminds me of how precious it is, the life that he gave. It says here, we know that we were not redeemed with corruptible things. Verse 19 says, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily, listen to this in verse 20, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, there's that phrase again, but was manifest in these last times for you.
Yeah.
He was foreordained. He was for that purpose. He was ordained for that purpose before the foundation of the world and has been made manifest. That means revealed to you and I in these last times. The blood of the goats and the lambs and all those other sacrifices, that was just like when you swipe a credit card. That's what that's like. How many of you kids understand the difference between credit and debit? Y'all understand that? Have they taught that in economics yet? Okay, well, you know what a bank account is, right?
Yeah.
A bank account is a set of numbers and a computer of money that doesn't exist. That's what I'm not going to call that. But that's a joke. But it's partially true. They say that less than 10% of money is actually backed up by real anything. But that's besides the point. Anyways, you got a bank account. You got money in there, right? Okay? Well, when you spend that money, money comes out of the bank account. If you got a debit card, you swipe it and pay for something, money comes directly out of your account, and it's paid right then. Now, if you've got a credit card, what happens is the credit card company pays that debt. Whenever you swipe that card, the credit card company pays it. Now you owe the credit card company.
Yeah.
So there's still debt there on your behalf. You see what I'm saying? Okay, those lambs and all those sacrifices that were made before is just like swiping that credit card. The great creditor, God, was paying himself, providing those sacrifices, that ultimately, that all that credit would be caught up. And there would be enough debit paid whenever Jesus died on the cross that wouldn't just pay for all those sins past, and although he wouldn't just cover those credits, but it would be a standing account that's good forevermore.
Yeah, amen.
That's what happened on the cross. And so, whenever he says that he was foreordained before the foundation of the world, that means that he was made for that purpose, to be that sacrifice. The Bible says in verse 21 of 1 Peter chapter 1, who by him do believe in God, that raised him up from the dead, and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. My faith and my hope is in God, who raised Christ, because of what he'd done for me. Now, had God done this any other way, I would not have the affection. I would not have the hope. I would not have the faith that I do. But because of the way that God done it and his perfection, because he's perfect and he knows what he's doing. The Bible says, seeing that ye have purified your souls and obeying the truth through the Spirit and the unfeigned love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. It says that we are born again, not of corruptible seed, but by incorruptible. If we were redeemed by any other means, other than by the precious blood of Christ, we couldn't trust it.
Yeah.
We can trust what has purchased us. I can know. I don't have to worry about, am I going to die in my sin? I don't have to worry about, am I going to go see God one day? Well, I don't have to worry about, am I going to stand in judgment and have a creator look at me and say, depart from me, you worker of iniquity. I know that I don't have to face that, because I know that the most precious thing that's ever been in existence in the universe, the blood of Christ, has washed my sin away. And so my hope is in him. It says, for all flesh is as grass, and the glory of man is the flower of the grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. The lamb that was slain before the foundation of the world, John said, in the beginning was what?
The Word.
The Word. And here the Bible tells us that the Word lasts how long?
Forever.
And so, the Word, the Son, they shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. So whenever it says here, but the word of the Lord endureth forever, and this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you, that is Jesus Christ. That means that through him and by him I'm saved, and that's the only way that I will be saved, because God said it to be that way. Why is that? It's because he wants glory. Why is that? It's because he wants me to have the benefit. He wants you to have the benefit of knowing him. Without Jesus, And without knowing him, without his sacrifice, not only would we remain lost, but even if there were some other way, if God would have done it any other way, you and I would have miserable lives. You and I would have nothing to ever be thankful for. You and I would have nothing to ever glorify God for. Can you imagine? Just logically, think with me here for a moment. God says there's no sin that's going to enter into heaven. Can you imagine people without Christ living down here, enjoying this hellish world the way that it is, and one day to get to heaven and to stand before God, they wouldn't even know how to act. Nobody's going to be thanking and praising God. But whenever we understand and know that we're sinners, and that the precious Son of God had to die in our place, we're going to thank God. We're going to glorify God.
Yeah.
So it's for our benefit, and it's for His own glory. It's not the question should be. This is the question the world asks a lot. Is why did Jesus have to die? You know, why couldn't God have done it some other way? The true question is this: is why would He love us enough to die?
Yeah.
Because it wasn't as if He was a solution to a problem. But it's as if He were already intended to be there.
Yeah.
And loved us before the foundation of the world. For all benefit. All right. Does anybody have anything else they want to say?
You mentioned a secondary question. I didn't have time to do a bunch of research on it. I didn't come across anything. You mentioned something about the significance of the order of events. Jesus' crucifixion. Oh, okay. Like, I wrote it down and I kept wanting to like get to it, and we spent like all week doing it.
Do you remember exactly what I said?
Yeah, I heard that. You said, what was significant in the order of what happened to him as was part of the process of him dying for us? You mentioned there was a significance in the order of things, which I never really heard that mentioned before, but.
I don't know what I meant by that.
Okay.
I don't know what I meant by that. If I said it that way, it might just be what I was talking about here.
Okay.
Sorry. Does anybody have anything else?
Lord, we thank you for this day. Thank you for letting us be back in your house and for what we've heard tonight, Lord. And thank you for the food we're about to receive. Just bless it to nourish us of our bodies. And just be with us and stay with us until we come back the next time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.